you for the introduction and thank you for the invitation. It's quite a diversified audience with respect to what I'm used for. When I had to prepare this presentation, actually, I thought that since there were other more qualified speakers than me to speak about Altmetrics, I wanted to give you an overview on what Altmetrics actually aims to solve. I wanted to give you some overview on the most successful bibliometric indicators, but based on citations, so there is nothing to do with Altmetrics from this point of view. Based on my experience as editor-in-chief for two IEEE journals, so basically as users of these metrics more than anything else. More specifically, I would like to give you an overview on the pros and cons of the various indicators and show that the quality, and this quality is between quotes because it's a very difficult concept to define already, of a journal as measured by this bibliometric indicator is actually multidimensional, so it cannot be measured by using a single indicator. So these bibliometric indicators, if you want to give a list of the quality that they should have, at least they should obviously give results which correspond to the quality of the technical journal with respect to the paper they are published in that journal. Obviously, science, or nature, which have an incredibly good reputation, should have a much greater value for this indicator with respect to the unknown journal of obscurity. Also, they should be fair if applied to different areas, and we all know that there are different citation practice for different areas. For instance, it was already mentioned this morning that papers in the area of mathematics have much shorter citation lists, while those in the area of biology or medicine are much shorter, much longer list. And we would like this indicator to be for the top journal in both areas to do more or less the same result. Also, they should be immune to external manipulation, so in the sense it should be very difficult to artificially inflate their value, if not by increasing the technical value of the paper which are published in those journals. Of course, as it was mentioned also previously, the use of citation as a proxy for measuring quality is by far not perfect, and this is why the Altmetrics could be of great use. So that's the definition of the most known indicator, bibliometric indicator that you all know, the input factor. Well, apart from the math there, this means simply that you want to collect the average number of citations for the paper published in that journal in the two previous calendar year. The pros for this particular indicator is that it's fairly simple. It is easy to compute. It is actually known and diffused because of that. In terms of cons, the fact that I'm using only 2 years as a window actually does not allow for some of the research area to mature the citation peak. So some areas such as mathematics, for instance, needs more time in order to get to arrive to the peak of citation. And this is the reason why the input factor actually varies significantly among different areas. And what is worse, also among different sub-areas. Also, citations are counted in the same way independently on the particular source of the citation. And that's actually, if I put myself in the perspective of an author, if my paper is actually obtained citation from a paper published in Science or Nature, I'm much more happy than if this paper is going to get citation from an obscure journal of conference I'm not even aware of. So these things should be somehow weighted in a different way. Also, the input factor is liable to active manipulation in the terms of coercive self-citation, as we are going to see in a second, and also on the fact that the citation to items such as notes and letters count actually only at the numerator of this expression, but not at the denominator, and this was a source of problem in the past. Coercive self-citation is actually a problem which is popping up more and more often in the scientific community. There are several papers describing this. I just picked one published in February 2012 in Science, where the author found that among more than 800 journals, the EAC of 175 in the area of economics, sociology, psychology, and also business discipline were found to coerce, to force more or less in a heavy way, the author to cite papers published in the journal itself. Also, they found out that coercing was more frequent with young author with respect to experienced one. And also, they found that there was a relation to the area in the sense that if one journal was forced to coerce, then other were more likely following just because they had no other way in order to compete with the coercer one. Also, they found out that for-profit publisher or editor-in-chief of a journal published by for-profit publisher were found more prone to coerce with respect to academic one, which seems to be more interest to maintain their reputation. So I'm not saying that I believe in all this point here, but it's pretty clear that this phenomena is rising up. And one may also wonder what happened in other areas. Again, that's difficult to say because there are really no significant studies in the area, but it's quite kind of easy just to go and look at the trend of self-citation by developing data, by downloading data from the journal citation report. I just picked three journals. I do not even read the name, I just reported there for the sake of transparency. But they are from three different subject categories, physics applied, neuroscience, and energy and fuels. And if you see the percentage of self-cite or the number of self-cite per paper, they are actually rapidly increasing over time. These represent the percentage of self-citation, so self-citation to the journal itself counted to the impact factor with respect to the number of self-citation. These represent the number of self-cite published in each paper in a given year. So actually, this is the number of citation to the same journal per paper published. So for instance, the red journal here in 2008 had more than 75% self-citation and more than 7 citation to the same journal per article published on average. Obviously, there is nothing that proves that this self-citation were coerced. Of course, these are simple data. But it's interesting to notice that there is a hole here in 2009, because for this particular journal, Thomson found that the level of self-citation was too high, and they decided to exclude it from the journal citation report, and they reinstated it the following year when the level of self-citation was low enough. Why coercing? So why should put your reputation at risk for that? Because there are unfortunately several unintended uses of this particular metrics. For instance, to evaluate a single paper in a journal, and actually we have seen in the previous presentation already that this is not possible, and this is not possible not only for the impact factor, but for any actually bibliometric indicator, because these are average quantities, and therefore they give you no indication on the quality of the single paper which is published in it. There is also a link to the salary increase in several countries. Well, in China mainly, researchers get more money if they publish paper in a journal with high input factor, and that's obviously distorts somehow the behavior of the scientists. And also, this is at best a way of measuring quality just in one dimension, which all the time, as scientists, we know that provide distortion. Most important, this metric is used to the evaluating of the CV of the single scientist. It's more and more often that one evaluates the CV of a scientist by summing the impact factor of the journal that they publish in, or the average value of the impact factor, and this is definitely wrong from a bibliometric point of view. So I can conclude this chart by taking actually a sentence from a paper from Arnold, which when he was the president of the American Mathematical Society, which says that the unintended use of the impact factor made it mostly the target and not anymore the measure of the quality. And according to the Goddard's law in economics, when the measure becomes a target, it actually ceases to be a good measure. So to solve this impact factor issue, there in the literature there were proposed other indicators. 5 of them have already made it in the Web of Science or in Scopus. Actually, these 3 of them, so the 5-year impact factor, the eigenfactor, and the article inference are in the journal citation report. The source normalized impact per paper and the CMAR journal ranking are in Scopus. Most of them actually solve the problem of the citation window by increasing the citation window to 3 or 5 years. They also introduce a normalization for the subject field, so to solve the other problem for the input factor, which is might be explicit or by construction of the indicator itself. Three of them, and two of them, they do not consider self-sight. One of them, they consider self-sight till a certain percentage, and this is actually eliminating the possibility of self-inflation by coercion. And also, they consider most of the time the same document at the numerator and at the denominator, which actually eliminate one other cause of inflation, which is present in the input factor itself. One other important difference is the difference between popularity and prestige. Popularity measure means measure simply citation. Prestige measure weight the citation. And there is also a difference in the way in which these indicators are defined. It is an algebraic non-recursive definition for the popularity measure, and it is a recursive definition for the prestige measure. So I'm actually giving you a simple example of definition of a recursive indicator, which is the eigenfactor. Basically, most of them are variation of the page rank algorithm, which is presented by Google. I don't want to comment the mathematical definition of it. I'm simply saying that it is recursive because the quantity here, which is a probability, is computed at every time step until this equation converges. This quantity here has j not equal to I, and this is the number of citation given from to journal I by journal J, which means the cell citation actually are not counted. Also, once this is solved, you go and compute the eigenfactor by using this expression, which is also important because the eigenfactor for journal I actually depends on this quantity pi J, which is gives you, which is I if the eigenfactor of the journal J is also I, and therefore actually weights the citation coming from this journal. Interesting that the citation from journal I to journal, from journal I from journal J is actually weighted by the total number of citations that the journal J can give out, and therefore this is an intrinsic normalization which solved again partially one of the issue of the input factor. Physically, the eigenfactor actually has a meaning of a probability and represent the probability that a random reader pick a journal in the entire collection and following citation to citation arrive to read the journal I. Therefore, this quantity is additive in the sense that if you want to consider which is the impact in terms of eigenfactor, of course, of a collection of journal, in this case, you can actually sum it. The article influence is simply the eigenfactor normalized twice, but I don't give you details on that for the sake of time. So just considering which are pros and cons of this indicator, well, the citation in this case are now weighted depending on the source, and this is pretty good as we wanted. The time window is has been increased to 5 years, which has been seen to be a better compromise with respect to 2 years. Journal size citation are not considered, and this is an advantage because it makes the indicator less prone to external influence. In terms of cons, well, it is not necessarily correct to eliminate all the self-cite because there are legitimate reasons actually for making self-citations. And probably the best solution in this case is the one of Eximago journal rank, which actually adopt a number of self-citations till a cap, which is 33%. Obviously, these indicators are much more difficult to understand and also to compute, and that is one of the reasons because they may be limited in terms of adoption so far. I just skipped that. Just wanted to say for this slide that there are other indicators in terms of popularity and prestige, but I don't have any time to give you details on this. Just a slide to mention that also the H factor has been proposed to evaluate journal, and apart from the fact that it was already proposed in 2006, this has been raised up because Google is using the H5, so the H factor computed in the previous 5 years, as a way to assess the quality of a journal publication, and therefore it might become an important parameter as well. So what we do with all these indicators? The main problem, obviously, is that it's difficult to define what the true quality is. Well, it cannot be directly measured. We have only a proxy. Therefore, if we want to use all these measures together, the first thing that we need to do is at least how they correlate among each other. So there are possible different correlation coefficient. I name it here 3. These are Pearson, Sperman, and Kendall. This one measure the quality. Okay. These measure the actually quality of the value. This measure instead the one in terms of ranking. So if you do this, for instance, for the electrical engineering subject categories, you can find out that the correlation coefficients are actually quite substantially large, that the impact factor, the five-year impact factor, and the article influence correlate quite well. The eigenfactor does not correlate that well because it is actually a journal indicator, it's not a measure actually per paper. Something similar can be said also for the other correlation coefficient. And if you see for the H factor, these somehow correlate in between with respect to the eigenfactor and the group of impact factor and article influence. So there is even something more which has been done and which is fairly interesting, which is the fact that two independent studies in 2009 have considered basically all measure present, including usage measures. They were published, one in PLOS One and another one in the Journal of the American Society for Information, Science and Technology. And the result of this, once they computed the covariance matrix of 39 measure and 13 measure in this case and in the other case, and applied a principal component analysis. I don't want to bother with the mathematical details, but the idea of this analysis is to capture where most of information is. And what they found out is that the information is mainly two-dimensional. So you need a two principal component so you can represent the result exactly on a plane. Also, that the measures cluster. In particular, users' measures are here. The measure in terms of total site are here and here, they are grouped together. The prestige measure, so those based on page rank, are here and here. An exception is the Shimago journal rank, which is here or here in the two plots, and here is where the actually popularity measure are. In fact, the impact factor is here, while the H factor is actually in between the two, as we had seen in the previous slide. So the conclusion of this slide is that actually one can actually not use a single indicator to measure journal quality, and one need to use more than it. I just have two slides, this slide and the conclusion, and then I'm done. So I just want to give you an idea why it is important also to use more than one indicator. If you consider the, we go back for a second to the problem of coercion, even assuming that this was a problem of coercion, with respect to the number of cell sites per paper, you see that the Green Journal in 2010 performed actually worse, so it has more cell citation per paper, than the Red Journal, which was removed by the Journal of Citation Report. So why this was not removed in the next year? So, well, one of the reasons might be that actually, if you compare performances in terms of ranking for the three different indicators, you can see that there is way more different for the Red Journal than it is for the Green Journal. So actually, the performance in this case was apparently quite legitimate due to all the performance measured by a different angle. So if you actually try to measure a performance from different angle, you can always get benefit out of it. I just skipped this and this one. I arrived to the conclusion. So actually, what we have seen, that bibliometric indicator exists, there are many of them. Each of them aims in measuring journal quality in a different way. Well, the first conclusion of the talk is that one should not use a single indicator, the impact factor, but any other to measure the journal impact. It's way more complex to do that. Also, this journal indicator can give more information, possibly on manipulation on bibliometric indicator, but also other useful information. And but most important, that these bibliometric index are very useful tool to evaluate the journal impact, but they should not be exploited alone to evaluate quality of single paper and even worse of single scientist. And this is why I think that altmetrics could hopefully be a solution for all this problem. Thank you for your attention.
We have time for a quick question, but no answer. No, we'll take a quick question and answer while Peter's coming up.
Anybody?
Ah.
Could you hand this, please?
Hi there. So I guess my question is about Goodhart's law, because what I'm trying to understand is if the measurements become the target for evaluation, how is altmetrics any different? Surely it's going to fall prey to the same selection pressures, and therefore, I mean, because we know that people are looking at different measures of impact, ultimately to award money.
Actually, I think that the answer to this is that all the metrics are measuring actually the same idea of impact from different angles, and it is difficult to manipulate all of them at the same time, if you want. So the real where the real information is between the correlation of these two measures and not in the value actually of the single measure. So that was what I wanted to try to hint by the last slide, in the sense that if you see there is the ranking of the journals, so if you see a large difference between the ranking, it could be legitimate, but it's something that may be ring a bell, and you should look into that. While if they are more or less the same, even if the value of this coefficient, which seems a very good measure to see if I'm actually manipulating or try to do something bad with the quality of my journal, this doesn't give me exactly the indication, or it's perfectly legitimate, because I need to the value of the position in ranking, sorry, the value in the position in ranking is basically more or less the same.
Okay, thank you.